I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button, and there it is. The iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier. From checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls. I know one of you girls can relate to this, so we gotta talk about it. You know when you feel like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, and then you stress because you don't know what you're doing wrong? Well, what I've learned is that it's not you at all, because a lot of these issues are tied to hormone imbalances, and then the stress just makes it worse because it messes with your hormones even more. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So of course, I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some insight into what might be happening with my hormones, like potentially an overload of estrogen, which can affect me in all kinds of ways. So it recommended I take Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, anxiety, your cycle, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I noticed such a difference. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. And taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's about investing in your long-term health. So whether you're recommended Hormone Harmony like I was, or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz will help guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
Settling is not an option for me.
Everything I desire is already mine.
What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're doing a 6-month wedding countdown update kind of episode. I feel like I haven't really done like a personal life, like talking, you know, just like off the cuff type of episode in a while. So I figured now would be a great time to do that, because we are within the 6 month mark, which is crazy to say that I will be getting married in 6 months. I feel like, yes, since I've gotten engaged, it's like been my entire personality. But what did we expect here? Like, if you have been following me since I was single, then this is something that should have been expected and anticipated whenever the time, you know, would come for me that I would be getting married. I think that it, like, you girls should just know that that's like pretty much all I would ever want to talk about. But like, I will say, like, I mean, listen, unless I've lost all sense of self-awareness, I will say, you know, I do believe that, like, I've not been annoying in my real life. Like, I might talk about it a lot on social media because I am a content creator who shares, like, their lifestyle, you know, their life. And so this is my life and this is what I'm actually doing, you know? And so I feel like it might seem more frequent online than it is in person, if that makes sense. Like, it's not something I'm talking with my friends about on a daily basis or my family. Like, quite frankly, I'm doing nothing right now about the wedding, and it's kind of making me feel like I'm missing something or forgetting something. If any brides have gone through this, let me know, because I need to text I have a day of coordinator, but that title is like a very loose title because there's a lot more to it. She's not just a day of coordinator. She helps me from the day I start, the day I book her, essentially. So I booked her right away, which was 7 months out. So I feel like she's really, like, not to say a wedding planner, she's a coordinator. She helps, you know, logistics and things like that. She could be in like email threads and whatever. She's not going out of her way to plan things, but she's certainly more than a day of coordinator, you know? So like, I do recommend the day of coordinators, especially for people who like would like the idea of a planner. I mean, I personally never necessarily wanted a wedding planner, but like some people do. But like, that's a very big investment. And it's, you know, it's what the title sounds like, planner. Like, they do everything. So yeah, if you don't necessarily need someone to do everything, but you just need someone to assist and help and coordinate, then a day of coordinator is great because it's really not just for that day. It's not like she's MIA for the year, you know, and then just like on the day of your wedding, she just pops up and is like, hey, let me know how I could help. No, she fully knows everything that's going on with your wedding, just as much as you do. So by the time that the day comes, she's able to, you know, make the flow of the day and everything go perfectly because she knows every single thing about your wedding. She knows your vendors, she knows your day of timeline, she knows the schedule, she knows everything. So that's that. But what I was saying was that I have to text her and like kind of run through my to-do list with her and see if there is anything that I'm missing, because I booked all of my vendors right away, within 2 weeks. Once I booked my venue, by 2 weeks later, exactly 2 weeks later, every single vendor was booked. Photography, hair, makeup, the DJ, lighting, transportation, the church, like every single thing, whatever, all the big stuff. From then on, there's been like really nothing I can do because I feel like all the remaining things, as far as I know, that are left are really going to be based on how many people are coming. So actually this week, the week of, you know, that this episode will be out is when I'm going to start my invitations. I'm using Minted again. I used Minted for my save the dates. Honestly, I can't stress enough like how easy and seamless and perfect using Minted is. I do feel like a lot of people like go a little bit more over the top in the sense of like they'll use a personal, like just like someone who has like a small business, like a person who like has their own stationery business where like they charge like honestly like $10 to $20 per invitation. Like, I know people who have spent thousands of dollars on their invites. And it was just one of those things where I'm not as like, I don't know, I'm not as like obsessive about, like, I feel like for me as someone who's received 5 million invitations, like, I don't care about the stationery. And I'm not saying it in the sense of like, use Minted because if you don't care about your invites, like, they suck. That's not what I'm saying. They're great. I'm saying I didn't care enough to spend thousands of dollars on it. For me, I know that people throw their invitations in the trash. There are some people who like do pay attention and appreciate an invitation, but I can say that that is one out of every 25 people who get one. So it's just like, I don't know. Like, it wasn't something that I cared to go like private and work with someone like on their own who has like this like big business where they charge tons of money. Like, it just wasn't my thing. I didn't want an overly dramatic, heavy, detailed, major invitation. I really want something very sleek and chic and formal. I'm having a black tie wedding. Everything is going to be like black, like the dress code. I don't know if I've mentioned on here that I'm having the dress code. I'll talk about that in a minute. So I really want the invitation to exude that same thing of like formal, black and white, you know, dress code, just like really minimal. I want, like, for me, I just want it to be as simple and elegant as possible, which is like more minimal. So, I mean, and I do think that Minted does more extravagant. Like, I do think that they have that option. I personally didn't look into the more, you know, fancy. I don't even know how I want to describe it. I didn't look into anything that was much more elaborate because I knew what I was looking for. I knew I was looking for something more simple and minimal. And so I think that they do have more extravagant stuff. I know that they have a lot of pieces, you know, like there's like the little jacket, you know, when like you open an invitation and then like, it's not just the invitation. There's like the jacket and then there's like the like little filler sheet in between, like that clear, you know, that see-through kind of sheet. And then there's the little wax seal. Like, I know that they have every single detail. So don't think that it's just like, oh, if you get Minted, like you're just going to get a piece of paper and call it a day. No, you can have the full suite, all this stuff. So I think that they're perfect. I do have a code, Victoria Wed. This is not sponsored. They have not paid me by any means. I mean, maybe they will eventually, but like, I did my save the dates. Yes, I did get them gifted because I did promote them, but I didn't get paid for it. So like, I genuinely wanted to work with Minted. I reached out to them because I was like very much interested in their stuff. I had looked at their website, you know, before, and I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want. It's just so simple. So this wasn't like, I like them because they contacted me. No, I collabed with them because I contacted them. But again, unpaid. I just have a discount code. I don't get commission for the discount code. It's like up saving up to 25% off if you do stationery or even just like party stuff, because they do have everything. I will also be getting like my table numbers, you know, like when you go to a party and like on the table, there's the number. Also the place cards. So a lot of people nowadays for weddings do seating charts, like a wall design, like a big thing where, you know, there's all different elaborate designs that people do where you walk into a wedding and there's this big thing and you go up to it, you find your name on it, and that's that. I'm not doing a seating chart. I'm not doing those walls. I actually thought that I planned on it originally, but then I decided against it because the type of venue that I'm having is very elaborate. Like, I'm having my wedding in a place that is not a typical catering hall, clean slate, blank canvas, you fill it in however you want. Because a lot of these catering halls are really, yes, they're pretty, but they're empty. There's nothing there. They are completely open and empty for you to do what you want with it, to make it your own. Where I'm getting married is like, you're not making that place your own. Like, that place is that place. And there's so much to it. There's so much decor. There's so much design. It's so already like, there's so much character to it that like, you really don't need to do that kind of stuff. So I'm not doing a seating chart. I'm only doing place cards. So when you walk in, there will be a table with all like place cards. You find your name and that's, you take your card. And I'm going to get those from Minted. So like, they have all that stuff, you know, not just invitations. There's a lot. If you're having any sort of party, there's so much on there. Again, Victoria Wed, that's my discount code on there. So I would recommend it. But yeah, so what I was saying was that right now I'm doing nothing because there's nothing I can do, I don't think, until the invitations go out. and I get back my RSVPs. Like, I can't do a seating chart. I can't do the tables because I don't know who's definitely coming. You know, there's a few things that I really just can't do without having like that official head count. And so, yeah, like in this period where I'm doing nothing, I feel like I must be missing something. Because all these brides, everybody online, TikTok, or even in person, honestly, people that I know that have gotten married are like, are you ready to like blow your head off? Are you so stressed? Like, and I'm like, no, quite frankly, I'm stressing because I'm not doing anything. And I don't know if, what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And so I kind of just feel like, you know, when like you go on vacation and it's like everything is too good to be true right now. I'm on time for the airport. I'm quite frankly, I'm early. My bags are not overweight. The security line is short. I breeze through. Why is everything going too good to be true? I guarantee as soon as I get there and get off this flight and open my luggage, I'm going to be missing all my clothes. Like something, like there's something feels like it's got, something's going to be wrong. And the truth is, when you have that feeling, you typically are missing something. So that's what's driving me crazy is that I'm like, I think I must be, because if I'm not, wouldn't I feel confident that I'm not? So I don't know. I don't know. What I have been working the most on is my play and do not playlist. I am going to be that bride who like the DJ is going to be like, girl, simmer the fuck down. But I can't. Simmering down is, when it comes to the music, is not an option. Guys, the music is everything at a wedding. I don't know whatever, everyone has a different style, you know, of music, but I think that most people would agree that like they don't really want to hear like today's current pop top 100. You know, like you go on Spotify, you click like what's currently like playing, like you don't want to hear the radio songs right now at your wedding, you know? And I feel like sometimes a lot of DJs like to throw in those songs, and especially like the corny songs, and I'm just not having it. I could give you a little teaser. I have two separate playlists. So again, one is a play and then one is a do not play. So on my playlist of like what I definitely want to hear, it's honestly mostly like 80s to 2000s dance songs. So No One's Gonna Change You, Stranger in My House, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. I mean, how did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. Like, you don't want to fucking shake your ass to that at a wedding. Are you sick? Yeah. And then I also love like the 2010s dance songs too. Like, if you girls are from like New York, New Jersey, and you had like the Jersey Shore era, you went to DJs like in, you know, 2016, like those are, again, that's what you want to hear too. Kill the Lights. Yes. Kill the Lights and Look Right At, all that stuff. Body by Loud Luxury. If I Lose Myself. If I Lose Myself Tonight. So like, I want to hear the good shit, you know? I have a long, long, long list. And yeah, so it's like 80s to 2000s dance songs. And then it like jumps and goes to like the 2010s, like the 20 teens, you know? And then like it kind of cuts off there. Like there's really nothing of today's genre that I want to hear. And then my do not playlist, oh, that's updated on the daily. Because every single time that I hear a song that I just do not want to hear, my do not playlist is longer than my playlist. Okay, so now there's some artists that I have in general. Like, I don't want to hear this artist at all. For example, Pharrell. I don't want to hear a single Pharrell song. For example, LMFAO. For example, Black Eyed Peas. I don't want to hear LMFAO. I don't want to hear Shots. I don't want to hear Party Rock Anthem. I don't want to hear Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling. Like, never. I never, ever, ever want to hear that. I don't want to hear Katy Perry. I don't want to hear Nicki Minaj. I just don't want to hear like any of these songs. And then like I have like those artists, and then I have songs, like specific songs. Blurred Lines, Gangnam Style, Despacito, Turn Down for What, Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. Sorry, Swifties, I don't want to hear Shake It Off at my wedding. No Cheap Thrills. Like there's just, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's like what the thing I'm doing the most. It's like every single time that I go anywhere and hear a song, it either goes on the play or do not play. And so I don't send that over, of course, until it's like closer to the wedding when he's ready to like get my, you know, set list together. So that's the thing I'm going the hardest on. But otherwise, yeah, I'm just like, what do I do now? I'm booked. I'm booked and not busy. So I don't know what I'm going to do now. The other thing that I mentioned is the dress code. So I'm doing an all black dress code. I can only hope and pray that everyone follows it. Yeah, if you have 50 people at your wedding, I'm sure it'll go perfectly. But when you're inviting over 200 people to your wedding, there's always got to be one, you know? And like my thing is like, I'm already in my head like, don't let it bother you. All I'm going to do is just give like my photographer instruction of like, don't photograph that person. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, no one's looking at like the other people. Like they're looking, not to sound like whatever, but like they're looking at us. They're looking at the bride and groom. Like they may notice it, but it's not going to consume their night. And so I'm like, I can't let it consume my night if somebody doesn't wear black. I would hope that no one shows up in bright red, bright pink. But like say that someone does wear, you know, a green, a blue, something maybe a little bit more muted that's not black. I'm just going to be like, don't photograph that person. Like, I just don't want them in my pictures. You know, to the best of your ability. Of course, I hope that they're also not that obnoxious person who puts themselves at the center of every photo, who has zero self-awareness whatsoever. But do your best. But again, I'm just really hoping everybody does follow dress code. And like, here's the thing. This is a very like, I'm going to make a TikTok about this. So stay tuned for that TikTok. This is a very controversial thing because people are like so against dress codes for weddings, but I don't know why. People have parties with dress codes. You could go to a party that's an all black party or an all white party for anything, for someone's birthday, for a like any sort of occasion, and it's totally normal. But then when weddings come around, people don't like the idea of a dress code. And it's like, why? This is the most expensive party I'm ever going to throw in my life. So if ever I want to have organization and an aesthetic and a theme, it would be this one. I would care much less about my backyard birthday party, what everyone's wearing, than the party where the photos are going to live forever in a coffee book in my living room. Like, is it called coffee book? Why did that sound weird? Coffee table? Yeah, coffee table book. Like, you know, like it's your once in a lifetime party. The photos will live on forever. Like I want to look back at those photos and love, love, love what I see. And for me, like having an aesthetic is like very important. Obviously anybody who knows me knows that. Like I have a certain style that I like. And like, if this is the one time in my life where I'm ever going to throw a party with every single person that I know and love on my side and his side and, you know, the whole freaking world, I'm going to make sure that like I'm 100% happy with it and that I like the aesthetics of it. I think it's crazy that people get so offended by this, but like it has nothing to do with your preferences. Like it's always going to be about the bride and groom. So I don't know. People make such a big deal about it. I think it's going to look absolutely flawless and stunning to see, like, of course, me in white. I don't know I always go to say my husband, but my fiance is going to wear, if he's going to wear an all black tux or a, like, you know, when you wear like a white tuxedo jacket, like I'm not 100% sure, but like, regardless, like us and then like everyone in black, like I just think that that'll look amazing. And he needs to get on his tux. Maybe that's something that I'm missing. Like I don't know. He's just guys, like they just want to wait for the last minute. When it comes to your dress, you cannot wait for the last minute because I have to pay a rush fee because my dress, they told me that my dress would have normally taken like 10 to 12 months, like a year to come in. I think because I picked a dress that was brand new. So I don't know if you girls know about like trunk shows and that whole thing when it comes to wedding dress shops. So, or even just dress shops in general, not specifically wedding, but like when you go to these dress stores, you know, they're holding all different designers, a million different things. It's not like, okay, I got my dress from Kleinfeld. So my dress is not Kleinfeld, you know, it's a brand that's hosted at Kleinfeld. So now these designers, when they create new things or if there's a new season, they have something called a trunk show, which is where they bring those new designs to the store, so to Kleinfeld, and then Kleinfeld like picks and chooses what dresses that they are going to actually sell in their store. So, and then those dresses that are, you know, there for the trunk show are only there for a few days. So I did pick a dress that was on the trunk show. So because it was not a dress that they already had in stock and like, you know, could just like get over, you know, in a couple of months, it's something that would have taken like potentially up to a year. So, and I was doing 7 months, well, not even seven. I was doing like a 5 to 6 month. Yeah. Because I need it before the wedding. So it, you know, I had to pay rushed for it. So getting your dress fast is like a very big deal. That's the same thing how I said, like all my vendors and everything was booked within 2 weeks. So my dress was bought within 2 weeks. Like I really couldn't afford to wait. And I know when it comes to like certain things, like with wedding planning, you know, they say like, I mean, I'm a big, now that I've gone through it, I'm going to be a big advocate for don't let people manipulate you into rushing. Because when I was booking my things, they did make like I said, music, photography, videography, all that kind of stuff. Like they do make you feel like you have to book me now or like you're not going to be able to book me. So like I did really rush. And there were a couple things that I could have waited for. I could have waited to hear back from a few other options. Because like say I reached out to 5 people and, you know, one got back to me and I was like, all right, they're good. Let me just book them because I'm afraid if I don't book them, I won't. And then like another person would get back to me after I booked and they're like equally good, if not better. And they were available. And it's like, fuck, I should have just waited. But like, you know, it's one of those, like, I'm not beating myself up over it because I'm just like, what's meant to be will be. I know everything will be perfect. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not really like stressed about anything like that. I'm just like, okay, let this be your sign for future reference that you don't have to rush because some people get back to you in 1 day. Some people get back to you in 5 days. Listen, if someone was making you wait weeks, that's a different story. But if it's all going to be within the same week, if it's just a matter of waiting, what, 72 hours, like you could wait a couple days to hear from everybody and then book your things. So when it comes to the vendors, yeah, I don't believe that you need to rush. I don't believe that you need to be pressured and like hurrying up. But with the dress, certainly you do. Because I went to 3 dress stores and even in the first 2, I didn't end up buying from them. But like when I saw the dresses that I really liked from them, they were like, all right, like you... like if you're not going to order this now, like you really need to like get in touch with me this week because like this dress takes X amount of time. So like we would have to order it right away in order for you to not get charged a rush fee. Otherwise, if you wait, like we're going to have to charge you like a few $100 to rush the dress. So in that case, yeah, it is true because I am paying, you know, to rush the dress. So that's a thing. But with all that being said, just to wrap it up on the dress code thing, going back to that. Yeah. I think if you want to have a dress code, go for it. I actually like my initial dress code inspo. So I always knew I wanted to have a dress code. I always knew I wanted everyone to wear black, but obviously like I wasn't like engaged, you know, I wasn't planning a wedding. So like I always had that idea, but like I wasn't like so set or serious about it. But then when Hannah G from The Bachelor got married, she did a dress code that was like neutrals. So like, yeah, you could wear black. You could also wear ivory, like even close to white. Like you could wear champagne, like anything neutral, muted. There were some people in like a goldish, champagne-ish brown, like anything on that scale. She probably had like a mood board with like a color palette, things like that. But she got married in France. And like when you have that destination wedding and you're only having, you know, 100 people or less, you can get away with things more specific like that and more broken down like that. Like, you know, I'm going to assume that she gave them something to reference of like colors to choose from. And I just think if you're having, let's say 80 people, that might go over better than if you're inviting, again, over 200 people. So like, I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I know that that's obnoxious if I send something like that to, you know, a lot of people. So I think that the all black is the safe route for me, but I also think people could do anything. If you want to do it, do it. I know your parents, your mom, everyone's mom is like, you can't do that. You can't tell people what to wear. It's like, mom, yeah, I can. It's my party. It's my party. I'll tell you what to wear if I want to. A lot of singing in this episode, and I should stop because I'm a terrible singer. But yeah, I feel like when everyone's, you know, a little bit more old school, their parents, that's like, they're like, you can't do that. That's tacky. I was told that a few times, but like, I don't really care. So I am doing that. And then as far as other etiquette things, because I know that that's, dress code is a big one. Even like, so I'm not having a bridal party, which again, you don't have to have a bridal party if you don't want to. Well, I guess I could say I technically am, because I'm having a maid and matron of honor, and my fiance is having a best man, but we're not having groomsmen and bridesmaids. So like, that's what I mean. I'm not having a bridal party. I'm not having any bridesmaids. He's not having any groomsmen walking down the aisle, nothing like that. I wanted to avoid that at all costs. I don't want to have to pick dresses for people. I don't want to have to put those sort of obligations on people of being, you know, so involved in the wedding where like, they have to get ready with me, you know, they have to walk down the aisle. There's obviously more of a financial obligation when you agree to being a bridesmaid or a groomsman than there is to just being a standard guest. So like, I didn't want to have to put that on anybody. My fiance has a brother, so he always knew he wanted to have a best man. I don't have a sister, so I asked my two cousins, they're sisters, they're my first cousins, to just be my maid of honor and my matron of honor. And even with them, sure, yes, they're wearing black, but I'm not picking their dresses. And so like, yeah, like that, those are just another one of those things of like, it's your wedding. So it's your day. It's your rules. Like if you don't want to have bridesmaids and groomsmen, you don't have to. Shit, if you don't want to have a maid of honor, a matron of honor, a best man, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. You don't have to have people walk down the aisle. You could have everybody walk down the aisle. Like literally whatever you want, you have to keep at the forefront that it's your day. And it should be bride and groom centric. It should not be guest centric and bridal party centric and about everybody else. I just did an interview for a podcast. I'll share it when it comes out. It's going to be in a few weeks, but I just was interviewed. We were talking about all things wedding planning, and she happened to pull out a bridal magazine. She had a bridal magazine from the 90s, and then she bought a bridal magazine from today, from, you know, May 2025. And she was like looking at the differences between the two. And the bridal magazine from the 90s was all about the bride. Every single thing was bridal centric, like just focus on the bride. Here's what the bride should do and get and stuff for your registry and just like bride, bride, bride. Then fast forward 2025, the magazine was all about what you can do for your people. Bridesmaids proposal boxes, outfit inspo for the bridesmaids, for the mother of the bride, like for everybody else. And it was very focused on like what to do for your guests and for other people. And I do think that it's a big consumerism thing, because I was saying to her in that episode, I'm like, even the bridesmaids proposal box is like, great, they're thoughtful, they're nice, but oftentimes it's filled with just junk. And like, you don't need to buy junk for people just because you feel like I have to get them something. Like, you don't. For my cousins, I'm probably going to have to get them slippers because I didn't even think about it. All I did was get them pajamas to get ready in for that day. That's it. The morning of the wedding, wear these pajamas. They're just these satin blue pajamas from Homebody. And that's it. They are little like a monogram, not monogram, they're embroidered. Maid of honor, matron of honor. So again, I didn't even think about the shoes. Now that I think about it, I'm like, okay, wait, I have to get them slippers. But like, okay, so what? I got them pajamas and slippers to get ready for the day. I don't think that I need to. And this is not about saving money, because let me give you one spoiler alert. Saving money doesn't exist in wedding world, because
whatever you save, quote unquote, save money on, you're just going to spend it on something else. So if you don't spend it on your bridesmaids' proposal boxes, you will spend it on something else. It is what it is. So it's like, it's not about saving. It's not about being cheap. It's just about like, it's not necessary to invest into. It's not necessary to spend money on. It's consumerism. It is looking to everybody else on the internet and seeing what everybody else is doing and thinking that if they did that, I have to do that. And I'm trying to not fall into it. Even like I mentioned about like the seating charts and like the doing the place cards. Like I never see people doing place cards anymore. Like everyone's doing these seating charts on the wall and whatever. And I'm like, all the weddings that I used to go to, like that was like back, you know, years ago, like that was what you did. You just had place cards. What's the big deal? But again, it falls into, well, this is what everyone else is doing. This is what I saw her doing. And it's not to say, I'm not judging because I think that they're beautiful. I actually I DM'd the girl that I was going to get the seating chart from. So I DM'd her and I was like, love this wall that you do. I would love to do the same thing. You know, like, let me know price. Like, and I reach out to her because I planned on it. And then I was like, okay, hold on. I don't care about this that much. I'm not going to do it. So, you know, I did decide against it. But, you know, you start to find yourself like falling into it and thinking like you have to do it just because everybody else is doing it and you do not. So going back to my point, I got them pajamas to wear to get ready in. Big whoop. Like I just don't think that it's necessary to give people a box of junk. We don't need more things sitting around our house. We don't need more, you know, I don't even know, whatever these people give. Like you just don't need these things wasting away in your drawers, in your cabinets, on the counter. It's consumerism, it's maximalism, and it's just not necessary. If you want to do it, great, but it is not a requirement. So I'm here to normalize that, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go crazy. And speaking of saving, not so much of saving money. That's another thing is like, I keep seeing people on my For You page talking about cutting corners in very important ways, like crazy ways that I'm actually shocked about, being the food, the cocktail hour. This is something I really can't get behind where it's like, okay, I saw a video being like, well, actually I saw multiple videos about this. I guess because I saw the one and I watched it all the way through. And then once you watch it all the way through, they think that you're like into this, that you agree with this, that you want to see more of it. So then I saw more of it. And it was like, here's my bridal hack. Here's my bridal tip. Don't waste money on so much food. Nobody eats at weddings. Put the money toward something else. Put the money toward the bar. Put the money toward your decorations. Put the money toward your centerpieces. Don't waste money on the food. I'm sorry. You know what? I guess at that point, I am judging. Other things I'm like, I would never judge. But with that, if you're having guests come to your party and give you hundreds of dollars as a gift and you are not feeding your guests, that is insane. That is crazy. For us, listen, I'm from New York, but I'm a New Jersey bride. I'm getting married in New Jersey. The food is the main part. It is the entire point. It is what we are here for. It is how we measure how much we liked or disliked a wedding. It's always the food and the music okay? Because like I said in the beginning, the music is extremely important. So get your playlist and do not playlists ready, okay? So music and food, that's all that matters. Nobody gives a fuck if you had place cards or a seating chart. Nobody gives a fuck what you wore at the end of the day. Like everyone can say whether or not they liked your dress, but it has nothing to do with their experience at the wedding. Nobody cares about your centerpieces. They look at it when they walk in the room and then they sit down and they don't look at it again. Like nobody cares about all of these other things except for you. And that's fine. You should care. It's your wedding. You should love the way that it looks. You should love the vibe. You should love the centerpieces. You should love your dress. Like, yes, you should care. So I'm not saying like, don't invest into those things because only you care. Yes, invest into those things. Absolutely. But don't not invest in the food because you think nobody eats. What weddings have you been to where nobody eats? Here's the thing. Cocktail hour is to us Italians and New York, New Jersey brides as water is to a fish, as oxygen and air is to humans to breathe. Like, if you are not having the world's biggest buffet at your cocktail hour, people are going to go home and say there was no food. Like, I went home hungry. You know, the cocktail hour is where it's at. I made a TikTok talking about it. I said, cocktail hour is like the Hunger Games. It's like every man for themselves. We are running laps, doing seconds and thirds around this food around the world. I called it Epcot. I said, cocktail hour at a New York, New Jersey wedding is equivalent to going to Epcot in Disney World. You go around the world. There's all these stations. There's always like a minimum of 6, 7, maybe 8 stations. I know we're having 12 stations. There are probably people who have 16, 17 stations. So I know we're having 12 stations. And it's like Italian food, Mediterranean food, Japanese food, Chinese food, Mexican food. Like, you have every single thing. You're going to have your grilled octopus. You're going to have your raw seafood bar. You're going to have your lamb chops. You're going to have your carving station where there's all different cuts of meat. You're going to have tacos and then like some American food, like mini sliders and french fries. You're going to have the fresh pasta station. We're having a big sushi station, so we're going to have lots of that. You could have hibachi. You could have anything. Like, do not skimp on the food. Your guests are eating. Maybe you're not eating at the wedding because you're the bride and you're busy and you're taking pictures and you're running around and you're not really sitting down and relaxing, but your guests are eating. And if any New Jersey bride ever said that, like, oh, don't worry about the food, nobody eats, like, you don't have to have a big cocktail hour, shunned. Oh my goodness, shunned. Family disowning you 100%, especially if you're Italian. But this is not limited to the Italians. This is just like New York, New Jersey culture in general, but especially the Italians. That's what we care about, you know? So, and then I get it, like the entree situation, because after the cocktail hour is over, you know, you're gonna be stuffed. So maybe people are not eating their main course in full, but that's not because they're not eating at the wedding. That's because they just stuffed their face at Epcot an hour before, you know? So you had 12 stations, and it's not only stations. There's also passing plates, like hors d'oeuvres. So in addition to the 12 stations, we're having 18 little hors d'oeuvres going around. 18. So there, like, even if you had one of every single thing, you already just ate 18 things. And then if you had one food from every single station, you have 12 things. And it's unlimited. So it's a buffet. So you can keep going around. The hors d'oeuvres can keep hitting you. So you could have 30 hors d'oeuvres. You could have freaking 500 foods from the cocktail hour. Like, you know, so the only reason why anyone would not be eating in full their entree is probably because it's boring. I just ate all this exciting, fun food. Now I go sit down and I'm getting what? A salad and a steak. Yeah, sure. That's good. Okay. I'll eat it, but I'm not going to devour because I'm full. I rolled out of cocktail hour like a Pillsbury Doughboy. That's the point. And yes, you're going to have your open bar too. You're going to have your drinks too. So it's not like don't have the food because you want to spend it on the drinks. No, you got to have the open bar. I mean, it's a party. I guess I might be sounding hypocritical because I keep saying there's no rules. Do what you want. You know, it's your day. But like, I do think it's a little crazy if you're not feeding and fueling your guests. Like, and I that the other thing too of people talking about saving money is that like they're not having alcohol or they're having a cash bar. And that is not really right for a private party. You are the host of a party. So to have a cash bar and to make your guests come and now spend hundreds of dollars, like they're giving you hundreds of dollars as a get, you know, as a gift, and then they're spending hundreds of dollars at the bar, that's not right. Like, I just don't think that you should be doing that. I think if you genuinely and truly can't afford an open bar all the way through. You got to have beer and wine and maybe a signature cocktail where it's just like one liquor, you know, like one, like a vodka drink or something, like just something. You have to have something. Your guests have to be fed. They have to be full. They don't have to be drunk, but they have to have the option to drink. Because I know a lot of people are like, well, we are sober. You know, me and my fiance are sober and we don't drink. So if we don't have to drink to have a good time, then why does everybody else? Like, why should we pay for liquor if we don't drink? Because you're hosting a party. So you're not the only two people at the party. You don't have to drink liquor. You don't have to have liquor in your house. You don't have to go to a restaurant and order drinks. You don't even have to split the bill with your friends when they're all drinking. Because if you're going out to dinner with 10 of your friends and you guys aren't drinking and they're ordering 3-4 drinks a person, I will argue in your favor that you don't have to split the bill. But if you're hosting a party, you got to have it for your people. You are a host. Be a good host. That's not a good host, you know? So at the end of the day, yeah, you could do whatever you want, but you should want people to enjoy themselves. You should want people to have a good time. I don't really see the gain in maybe saving a few dollars just to have some starving and sober guests, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with sobriety. I always have gone back and forth with sobriety and then drinking and then not drinking. So like, I'm also team sober people. I am not a big drinker. I can go months without drinking. I can go years without drinking. So like, I'm on your team. Okay. I'm on your side. I am not against you. I am understanding of your situation. I am understanding of sobriety. I am not understanding of being a cheap or bad host just because of your own personal preferences. That is different. It's completely different than saying, I don't need to have, you know, certain vendors and certain decorations, because the decorations do not alter and affect your guest experience. You know, care about your guest experience. That's my point. There is a huge difference. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. I know it's not always easy to whip up recipes that are fast, flavorful, and still feel special, but I have a shortcut to deliciousness for you girls. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries. They're American-grown raspberries picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet, tart flavor, no added sugars or preservatives, just the good stuff. Cooking and baking is such a love language of mine, and nothing says love like some homemade muffins or pancakes for breakfast, so these have become a freezer staple for me to razz up all my favorite things to make. They not only elevate your traditional recipes by adding bold flavor and vibrant color, but they honestly make me feel like a kitchen genius when my fiance says to me, "Wait, how did you make these? Something's different." Well, the secret is these berries are crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. I've used other frozen berries that turn to mush when they defrost, and the difference is extraordinary. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, so they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. I always check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries. Just look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Want to learn more details on where to find American frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org.
org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself. Because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross. We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are hard to stick with. That's why Goalie's ashwagandha gummies are a game changer. Goalie Nutrition makes wellness easy and delicious with their ashwagandha gummies. And they're America's number one ashwagandha brand, trusted by millions. They are chewable, made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins so you can feel your best without any hassle. Goalie ashwagandha gummies are made with KSM-66, a clinically studied form of ashwagandha known to lower cortisol levels, the hormone your body releases when you're stressed. And when your cortisol drops, you feel calmer, you sleep better, think more clearly, and even have more balanced energy throughout the day. No pills, powder, or mixing, just convenient, on-the-go, stress support in a delicious gummy. Grab, chew, and feel the difference. So head to Goalie.com now and get 50% off Goalie's ashwagandha gummies today only using Goalie50. Try them risk-free with Goalie's money-back guarantee because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com and use code Goalie50 today. Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now. Speaking of guest experience, plus one etiquette. That's another big topic of discussion on TikTok right now. Here's my thing. Again, do what you want. Not everyone is going to have the money to give every single person a plus one. And I think that there's, you know, two different ends of the spectrum where some people do give every single person a guest, where it's like for every one person that's invited, you're automatically doubling it and having two people. So if your personal guest list would be 150 people, then you're going to invite 300 people, you know, which completely puts you in a different ball game. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where there are people who are not even inviting someone's partner simply because they don't know them personally.
Like, you know that someone's in a relationship and you don't invite their boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, bride, husband, wife, whatever, because you as the bride don't fully know them. That's a little bizarre, right? So I fall in the middle. I know I've talked about this before, but I want to like have everything in this episode so that anyone who listens to this, you know, can really like hear everything in one place. So if you've heard me talk about this before, I apologize, but I want everything to be in this episode. So I fall in the middle where I feel that anyone who's in a serious relationship, no matter what, they're not getting a plus one. That person is invited with them. So on the invitation is who you're like inviting, who your main friend is, and their partner's name. They're invited together, Mr. and Mrs. whoever. Not if you're married, like, okay, when I'm married, it's not going to be Victoria Alario or my future last name and guest. It'll be Mr. and Mrs. Joseph. Like, it'll be me and my husband's names together, you know? So you're inviting the couple, not just the person, and giving them a guest. Or not even if they're married, you know, like you'll put both of their names. We invited, you know, like people who are not married yet, and we put Mr. So-and-so and Miss So-and-so. Both of their names go on the invitation. You're in a relationship, you're invited as a couple. However, I would limit that to more serious relationships because someone might have a quote unquote boyfriend and like they just saw each other for a couple weeks and then it doesn't work out. Like, I don't, you know, that's not necessarily. And how I tracked that and what I did to like see like who would put what was I sent out an address collector. So the website is called postable.com. And on that link there, people put their name, their address, and their guest name. So it'll say like your name and then it says your guest name and you fill that out accordingly. So I could tell who's in a serious enough relationship, not based on me measuring that and saying, well, they're together for 7 months and they're only together for 3 months and they're together for a year. I didn't do that. That's not on me to determine, you know, the severity of someone's relationship based on how long they're together. It's on them to determine if they're putting that person's name. So every single person who put someone's name, yes, they were in a serious relationship for years. I did have people who had boyfriends fill it out and not put their boyfriend's names. So anyone who left that blank is not getting a plus one. They are just being invited alone. So all the people who are single and left that blank are getting invited alone. And the only, to me, when it comes down to like who you give a plus one or a guest to, in my opinion, the people who get extended that, you know, opportunity are the people who would be totally alone at your wedding, not knowing anybody. Because here's the thing. Yes, you have all these single people, but there's a difference between these single people. Some of them are friends with everybody there. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's like they live nearby, they're coming with friends, they're all going to be together, they're all going to sit at the same table and know who they're sitting with. Like, it's just a standard night out at that point. The same way that they would go out to dinner with their friends, they're going to your wedding with their friends. So like, they don't need to bring somebody. But then there's those single people who come from out of town, who don't know anybody, who would be sitting alone at a table. Been there, done that. It's uncomfortable. So like, in those cases, yeah, you can extend the offer of giving that person, you know, a plus one to bring somebody simply because it would, again, I'm going back to, you know, the guest experience. It would give your guest a better experience. I never enjoyed being that person at the table where I didn't know because I was always invited alone. I was never given a plus one ever. And a lot of weddings that I went to, I didn't know anybody. The only person I was friends with was the bride. So I would go and sit by myself at a table filled with couples, by the way. Everyone's with their significant other. I'm alone making this awkward conversation. And like, listen, I am a social person. So like I can have a conversation with anybody. I'm not going to have a terrible time. But of course, you know, you do go home saying, I wish I was friends with somebody. Like, you know, it's a little awkward on the dance floor. You're just kind of like riding solo. Like, it's a little awkward at the table. You're making this, like, who feels like having this small talk? What do? How do you know the bride? Like, and they're sitting there with their partner and you're just talking to this couple because you're just like, all right, here, I have nobody else to talk to. So, like, I've been that person. And it's not the best guest experience. Now, not everybody can afford to give the ultimate top tier guest experience to every single person. So, you know, that's why I say, like, I'm in the middle, because it's like, yeah, you can't invite two people for every one person, because that will literally double your guest list. But there are some exceptions to the rule. There are some people who you can say, listen, I want them to come. And I want them to enjoy themselves. I don't want them to be alone and feel like they don't have anybody. So let me, you know, let me give this person a guest. So in that case, yes. But when it comes down to your friends, just because they're your friends and they're single, like, doesn't mean you have to give them a guest to come with, because if they know people around, then, like, that's that. They don't have to bring somebody. They should, you know, be able to just have a good time because they're friends with everybody else. And if you're not sure, you can ask before just determining what's going on the invitation. For example, I was offered this once upon a time. So years ago, before I met my now fiance, I was invited to my friend's wedding where she was my only, like, the bride was my only friend, you know, not anybody else. I wasn't friends with anybody invited. I was not friends with the people I was going to be sitting with. They were all friends with each other. So she knew I was going to be alone. With that being said, she did text me. She gave me a courtesy text and said, listen, I'm not giving plus ones to single people. I'm not inviting anybody with a guest. However, I'm asking you if you would like to bring somebody, because I know that you're not friends with anybody and I know that you're going to be alone. Do you want to bring somebody? I would only offer this to you because of those circumstances. So let me know what you think. Now, here's what I will say. I did bring somebody to that wedding. I've actually posted about it on TikTok as being the worst experience of my life. The worst date I've ever been on. Like, just the worst thing. So what I will say to that is, just because of those circumstances of, like, being alone and whatever, like, you don't have to bring somebody, because I looked back and I was like, oh my God, she really did not give anybody a plus one. There were three tables of single men, eligible bachelors, good looking guys. Again, this is before I met my fiance. So I'm like, at that time, I'm like, why the fuck did I bring this asshole? I could have gone and mingled with any of these guys. So it's like, also that end of it too, because you could go to a wedding and, like, say that you bring someone just for shits and gigs and you're like, let me just bring somebody, like, I just don't want to be alone. But then you look around and you're like, why did I bring somebody? There's hotter guys, there's cooler guys, there's successful guys with money and they're fun, and I could have, you know, made friends and hung out with any of these guys, like, whatever the case is. And at that time, I regretted bringing that person. Now, there, maybe, you know, you would say, yes, I want to bring a guest because A, you're either seeing somebody, so you want to bring who you're seeing. Maybe he's not your boyfriend and it's not serious, so the bride doesn't know that. But you're like, yeah, I'm seeing somebody, so I would like to bring this person. Or maybe you would bring a guy who's just a friend, or a guy that you know well enough that you're like, yeah, I'd hook up with him and we'd have fun. Like, we could have a sleepover for this wedding and, like, you know, no worries. So maybe in that case, you know, you would want to bring one of those people. I, however, was super single, just connected with somebody and brought this guy, and, like, was under the impression that this was, like, going to be a good idea because we had a mutual friend, and, like, that friend was like, he's the most fun guy I know. Like, if you want to have the best night of your life, like, you go with him. So, like, we started talking. We were, you know, we were long distance because I was living in Florida at the time and he was in New York. So, like, we were just texting and FaceTiming. So we were, like, talking leading up. It's not like that was the first time we ever spoke. We were talking and we were FaceTiming. And so through the texting and the FaceTiming, like, it was great. It was really good. But what happened was, I'll give you a little story time. And again, this is fully on my TikTok in a lot more detail. So if you scroll all the way back, this must have been in 2022 that I told the story, because I would have never told the story with what I was like seeing, you know, having a boyfriend. So I definitely have it back, you know, 3 years ago. And we went on our first date the day before the wedding. Because we weren't going to see each other ahead of time, because again, I was in Florida, he was in New York. And so it was only a couple, like maybe it was 2 months. No, it probably was like 3 months. So it was, it might've been 3 months leading up to the wedding that we were talking. So we're talking, you know, texting and FaceTiming for 3 or so months, you know, and you might think like, oh, that this is great. Like now I'm going to see him and it's going to be even better. But not everybody is, you know, the same way in person as they are like on the phone. Like what, you really don't know somebody until you're with them in person. So our literal first time meeting was the day before the wedding. We all went out, and let's just say it was the worst first date of my life. He was much older. I think he was 12 years older than me. Yeah. He was like a lot older than me. I was like 25 and I think he was like almost 40. Yeah, he was like a decent amount of years older than me. And just like constantly talking about me being such a baby and me being so young. And oh, I don't know. Like they were talking about a lot of like things that I wouldn't know about, like insider things, and just like very like, oh yeah, she wouldn't know. Like, oh, we're old, she's young. Like things like that. Like so fucking annoying. Like don't talk to me like I'm a child. I'm a grown woman. Like really being pushy, really being annoying, trying to get me to go to the club with them after. And I didn't want to, like, I wasn't a drinker. I didn't want to go out till 3 o'clock in the morning. I had the wedding the next day. I had to go to church, you know, in the morning. Like I didn't want to, like just being really pushy. So I knew from that night, there was so much more to it. Like I said, story time on TikTok. I knew that night, I was like, I should really fucking tell this guy not to come to the wedding tomorrow. But then I was like, but my friend paid for the plate. So what am I going to do? Not, you know, like I'm going to screw my friend over, the bride, because she paid for his plate and I had a bad night with this guy. So I'm just going to tell him not to come. Like I wasn't going to do that. So I had him come and it was awful. Oh my God. It was awful. He tried to kiss me. I tried to dodge it. We bumped heads. Like the shit you see in a movie. And then he was very angry after that. He was angry that I didn't want to kiss him. He was angry that I didn't want him to sleep over with me. He tried to get me to have him sleep over with me, because like he brought a bag of clothes and like left the clothes in my room so that like he had a reason to come back to my room, you know what I mean? But it's like, okay, yeah, you can come back to my room, get your bag of clothes, and you could go. Like, that doesn't mean you have to sleep over. So it was awful. Moral of the story is that I went through that simply because I didn't want to go to the wedding alone. So lesson learned? Yeah, lesson learned. So sometimes it's better if you do go alone, because there are much more eligible, normal, nice guys that will be at the wedding, single and alone, than these freaks that you have to bring with you. So that's my take on the whole plus one situation. And then just a couple of other things. I want to wrap on the guest experience things. And then I want to talk a little bit about beauty stuff, because I've been sharing a beauty series. And if you see, I keep kind of touching my face. If you're watching, it's because my skin is peeling and I can't help but touch it. I had a peel. We'll talk about that. But to wrap on the guest experience thing, the last thing that I want to say is I'm not having a bachelorette party, like a destination bachelorette party. I also am personally not planning any bachelorette party. However, my matron of honor, my cousin, is planning one for me, but it'll probably just be something local overnight, probably for just one night, maybe two, like maybe a Friday and a Saturday, but I feel like probably just one night. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know anything about it. So, and she actually asked if she could plan it for me before I even asked her to be my matron of honor. So she had texted me like a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, and was just like, hey, I know you don't want to like travel, but do you want to have a bachelorette party at all? And I was like, yeah, something local, like, I don't know. And she was like, can I just plan it for you? Do you mind if I, you know, do that and you don't have to worry about it at all? And I was like, honestly, fuck yeah. I like don't care. Like I don't want to have to plan it. I'm not being like controlling. Like she knows what I like. So more power to you. And then I asked her to be my matron of honor. So it was very fitting because it's like, all right, well, you have a role anyway. Like you have your title anyway. So like, there you go, you know? So that kind of worked out. I don't know what she's planning, but what I do know is like bachelorette parties, destination, you know, traveling like has gotten out of control. They're so expensive. I am a bridesmaid in a destination wedding that's coming up this month. And she also had a bachelorette party that was travel. And I didn't go. I didn't go to the bachelorette party because I couldn't do both. I can't financially, especially while I'm also paying for and planning my own wedding this year. Maybe if this was a different year, if I had nothing else going on, but especially not now. But I still think even still, I don't think that I would travel two times for one person's wedding. It's like, if you're having the destination wedding, I'll travel to that. I'm not also going to travel for the bachelorette. Like, it's just too much for me personally. To each their own. Again, everybody's different. Girls, of course, went on the bachelorette. So there are plenty of girls who are fine with traveling for the batch, traveling for the destination wedding. I personally am like, all right, one travel per bride. If you're having a destination wedding, I will travel. If you're having a local wedding, but having a destination, you know, bachelorette, I will travel. One per bride. That's all you're getting. So even as the bridesmaid, I said no. And I do think that people need to exercise their right to say no more. Just because you're a bridesmaid does not mean that you are forced to do anything. It does not mean that you have to say yes. It does not mean that you have to attend the bachelorette party. It's your money. It's on your dime and it's on your time. So you do what you can and you do not have to do anything that you can't do. If it's going to put you in a major financial strain, then I don't think that you should do it. And for me, for the same reasons why, like I never really wanted to have bridesmaids. Like I also just never really wanted to have a bachelorette party. Like I don't want to put that on people. I know that being a bridesmaid and traveling like just for one person, like not even for yourself, like it could be a financial burden. It can be stressful. And I don't want anyone to be stressed about me, about my wedding and my celebrations. Like I want it to be fun and effortless and easy for everybody. And so like I'm going on my friend's bachelorette in July. We're going to Arizona. And her wedding is local. So again, one per bride. So I'm going on hers. And I would say that it's a more reasonable bachelorette. I mean, Arizona's far. So like the flight isn't necessarily like the cheapest, but like it is something that's a little bit more reasonable. Like we're not doing crazy extravagant things that are going to cost tons of money. Like I would say it's on the more reasonable side compared to like, you know, others. But I still, for myself, like I wouldn't have that. Like I'm okay with going for hers. For some reason, I'm not okay with doing it for myself. Do you know what I mean? Like for her, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm not like stressed about it. Like I said, I think it is one of the more reasonable ones. Like, I mean, there are people who spend $5,000 going to their friends' bachelorettes. I know that I'm not going to be spending that. I would say probably the most in total that I would end up spending is $2,000. And like, yes, that's a lot of money. But for travel, it's not that much, if you will. I know that that might sound like, are you kidding? It's $2,000. But like, I'm talking the flight, the place that we're staying, plus all the food and like the plan. So I'm not just saying like, oh, $2,000 on all that stuff, plus like on all the plans, plus flight and hotel. I'm saying on the whole thing. So I think with everything being said and done, flight, our stay and all that, that's like about how much I think that we're going to spend. And that to me is okay. But there are people who, you know, the flight and stay alone are $2,000. So like that's, you know, a lot. So that's why I say it's a little bit more reasonable. But of course, traveling across the country to Arizona, like, yes, it is a lot. I'm aware of that. I just wouldn't do it for myself. But I'm like, okay, if that's what you want to do and you're having a local wedding, I'll do it. But I do think that there are some, at least I see it online, that I'm like, Oh my God, going to another country. I mean, listen, I'm not a pocket watcher. So if you guys have it like that, more power to you. That is amazing. If you can all be spending $5,000, $6,000, even up to $10,000 going on people's bachelorette trips, what are you guys doing? Congratulations. Honestly, proud of you. Proud of you, because that is amazing. But, you know, like, you also have to consider the wedding. Like, there's just so much that goes into it, which goes into a whole other conversation if you're going to a destination wedding. What do you give for a gift? I personally believe that you give less of a gift for a destination wedding because you have to factor in how much you are spending just to be there. So, like, my weddings that I go to local, yes, of course, I'm going to give the maximum gift that I can give, you know, the most amount of money that I can spend, you know, however much that is, I will give because it's local. What? I drove here, you know, maybe I Ubered here, like, I'm in and I'm out. So that's a different story. Bachelorette, destination weddings, yeah, that you have a lot more to consider. The flight, the hotel, so on and so forth. So there's a lot more that goes into it. So I feel like when it comes to the travel for the weddings, like, there's a lot of opinions and things that go into it. And that's why I stay away from it for myself personally. I'm like, I'm steering clear of that. I don't even want to walk into that territory. I want to stay completely far away from that territory and just make all of my things for me as easy as possible for everybody else. It's as simple as that. So that's my whole guest experience spiel. But now I want to just talk about the beauty stuff. So like I just said, I keep touching my face because I had a VI peel. So I had a VI peel a couple days ago. It is a 7-day process. So by day 7 is when like all of my peeling and shedding should be completely done. I'm doing all the skin things. Like, I need my skin to be flawless for my wedding. I mean, it probably won't be because I have acne prone skin. I will always have acne prone skin. I will always have a breakout, but I'm just doing the absolute best things that I can to avoid that. So like, I want to be as glowy as possible. So the VI peel, and of course, regular facials in general. So I already had one facial. So now I'm probably going to go for another facial. I'm probably going to do, honestly, like 5 facials leading up to the wedding. Because I just want, again, glowing, clear. I want everything out. I want as much clarity in the face as possible. So I'm going to do a series of facials. I already did the first one. So I'm going to have, you know, probably, honestly, 4 more. I did the VI peel. What else do I have? Oh, other thing with skin, I'm doing at home the high frequency device. So I did just post that on TikTok shop. Like, I posted on TikTok. It's linked through my TikTok shop. If you ever have a facial, you know, like at the end of the facial, after you do extractions, there's that little wand and it's like buzzy, it's like zzzz, and it's a high frequency if you don't know what it is. Sometimes maybe your esthetician puts like a little tissue or something on your face and then rubs the wand like over the tissue. Sometimes they might just go directly onto the skin. Either way, that's what it is. I have one of those devices, so I'm doing that at home to basically zap my pimples. I can't do anything to my face right now. I can only use the products from the VI peel. So if you get a VI peel, by the way, I got mine done at Attain Med Spa. I love Attain Med Spa in Hoboken. They're amazing. I know that they also have one, I believe, in Charleston. I think there's 3 Attain Med Spas. There's 2 or 3. So I know there's one in Charleston and I know there's one in in Hoboken, New Jersey. So that's the one that I go to. So I can't do anything on my face other than this treatment for the VI peel for the next, you know, few days. So I'm only doing that. But then once I'm back in my routine, I'll get a regular facial. I'll get back to doing my high frequency. And yeah, I'm really excited to see the results of this VI peel. Other things. Okay. Also, speaking of Attain Med Spa, I'm doing, of course, my laser hair removal. I get it from there. So I just went for I'm probably not going to have to go again because I actually have an at-home laser hair removal device. That's another thing that I have linked on TikTok. It's linked through my TikTok shop. I posted about that a bunch and I'm going to probably continue to use it throughout. So I typically go once a year for professional laser hair removal. I do that in Hoboken at Attain Med Spa. They have the best laser. I actually just brought my fiance. He got lasered. He did his back and he's loving the results, and he loved the laser because he had laser done before, but it hurt. And I've had lasers that hurt, that are really hot. They burn. You're like, it's like torture sitting through them. So his experience with the laser hair removal beforehand was not a great one because he was like, it's so painful. I'm not doing it again. I'm like, trust me, trust me, trust me. Come with me to Attain. They have the best laser. It's IPL. It's honestly pain-free, completely painless. It's amazing. It's cold, like super ice cold. All you will feel is how cold it is. You won't feel the laser at all. You're going to love it. So he came with me. So we both got lasered. He's on his beauty prep as well. And it was great. So I'm pretty much set for this year with my laser hair removal. I will just do my own maintenance with the device that I have at home. For the most part, I use the device at home on my arms because I don't do my forearms at Attain. I don't know why. I just never did. I do my Brazilian. I do my underarms. I do my full legs, like from hip all the way down, all the way down. So my full legs. And that's everything that I do. I used to do my lip, but I don't do any. I don't know. I stopped doing it on my face for some reason. I have no reason as to why. Honestly, I just don't do it. I just, what do you call it? I have those little twinkle razor. You could just get them at CVS. It's just that little tiny blade. It's like a handheld blade and it's just for like facial hair. And here's what I would say. People use those things to do a full dermaplane. I will recommend against it. I advise against it. I have done that and I broke out like crazy dermaplaning. Made my skin so bad. And I would love to dermaplane for my wedding. I would love to have no hair on my face for my wedding, but I know that I will break out. So I really can't take that risk of doing the dermaplaning. So I kind of just have to accept a hairful face. I just have facial, not like facial hair, but I listen, I'm Sicilian. My hair is dark. I have little hairs on my face, like the sides of my cheeks. Like, I don't know. I have a hair on my forehead, like little hairs. Not like I'm hairy. I don't have a full-fledged mustache, but I'm like showing it in the camera. I do that little thing, the little tinkle, I don't know, razor, and I just do that, and that's all I do. I can't start going to town on my hair, on my cheeks and all that, because I will be broken out like crazy. So I do advise against dermaplaning. At least I advise against dermaplaning yourself, and if you're going to dermaplane, to do it professionally, to actually get a dermaplaning facial. Like, go see an esthetician and let them do it for you. So that's really that. As far as that stuff. And then what else do I have going on? Okay, so I did get a haircut. If you're watching, you could probably tell that I got a haircut because I got a lot more cut off than I hoped and asked for. I asked for a trim. My hair had gotten so long. I worked so hard on growing my hair out. I was so patient when it comes to growing my hair out. I waited for so long and all I needed was a trim. My hair was so long. All I wanted was my dead ends cut off. I just wanted a trim. I just wanted a dusting. Just my split ends needed to go. And I truly think I got 3 inches of my hair cut off. It was so not necessary. I'm like very upset about it, especially because the wedding is so soon. And I like did so much to get my hair to be as long as possible in time for the wedding. And now, as I'm only a few months out from the wedding, I got my hair chopped off. So it's a very touchy subject. I'm very upset about it because I want my hair to be really long. So I'm just hoping and praying that it grows long again. So there's a few things that I'm doing as far as growing my hair out. One, I'm doing oils. I can't remember if it's Lia or Ilia or what the brand is. I feel like LIA is in my head, but I don't know if that's the whole name. It's another thing that's linked on my TikTok. I have it on TikTok shop. That's where I got it from. I saw insane results, amazing videos. So I got the whole system. There's like three things. There's a spray, there's a Betana oil, and then there's one that just says hair growth oil. And I do think that the Betana oil is necessary because I saw a video of a girl who growed her hair in, you know, only a few months. It got so long. And she said all she uses is the Botana oil. So I don't know. It says hair growth spray, hair growth oil, and then Botana oil. Whatever. I got all three. I'm doing all three. I've only done it twice so far because I just got it. So I'm doing it every time that I wash my hair. So like tomorrow's a hair wash day. So tomorrow I'm going to put the oils in my hair and I, you know, I'll wash it out. So every single time I wash my hair, I will be oiling and spraying and doing all that. Again, that's linked in my TikTok shop. I am taking my, all my supplements. So every morning I do a beauty and wellness shot. So I have those products linked, not on TikTok shop. Those are the Olive Tree people. If you go on the link in my bio, it should say like beauty and wellness shot on there. And it should take you to those three products. And so you take them all together. One is for gut health. One is hyaluronic for glowing, gorgeous skin, hydrated skin. And then one is collagen for anti-aging, hair, skin, and nails. So that one will make like your hair grow, your nails grow. It'll strengthen, you know, all that stuff. So I take that shot every single morning. I noticed that that's what made my hair grow so much last year because my hair grows so slow and I just kind of accepted that my hair grows very slowly. And then last year is when I started to take those three, that beauty and wellness shot. So those three supplements, those three elixirs every day, and my hair grew really fast. And that was really the only major thing that I had changed. Because I always took hair growth supplements and things like that. And even with supplements, like my hair just didn't grow that fast. So those three products, again, one is for skin, one is really like anti-aging, and one is for the gut. I just take them all together. And yeah, sure, you could get just the one for hair, skin, and nails by itself, of course. But I feel like I saw maximum results from taking them all together. So it's really up to you. I'm the type of person who, like, when I want a certain result, I'll get everything. Like I just said with those three oils, I got all the things. Like, yeah, someone uses just the spray or someone uses just the Botana oil or just the hair growth oil. I'm like, I don't care. I want maximum results. Give me everything. I will overdo every single thing. So again, you could take just one elixir, but I take all three. I want to see full results. And then other supplements, I go back and forth with Wellbell and Nutrafol. Right now I'm taking Nutrafol. I was just taking Wellbell for a while and I just finished the Wellbell. So now I decided I wanted to buy Nutrafol and I'm just going to keep going back and forth. I think they both work great. I don't know. I like to just see if one is working faster than the other. So Wellbell, Nutrafol, they're both for hair growth. I'm taking Array supplements. So I'm taking Array Bloat, which is what I take after I eat. It helps me, you know, digest better, not feel so inflamed and bloated. I'm also taking Array Tribiotic. So that is basically a probiotic, but for three different things. So it is gut, vaginal, and I'm kind of forgetting the other one. I don't know if it's skin. I don't know, but it's a tribiotic. So I know it's gut, vaginal, and then one other thing. It's just a daily probiotic that I'm taking every day. Also from Array, I'm taking two things when I work out. Only when I work out. So one supplement is called MB1, and then one are gummies called Tone, and they're creatine gummies. So MB1 gives you like a metabolic burn. It's a big booster for increasing your energy, speeding up your metabolism, curbing your appetite, and that's going to really help you, you know, with the gym, feel more lean. And then same thing with the Tone, these creatine gummies, same thing. You're going to feel more toned. You're going to feel more lean, more defined at the gym. So I only take the gummies and the MB1 supplements when I'm working out. I do that before my workout. So that's all Array stuff. Other gummies, I take Nature's Bounty hair growth gummies. Like I said, give me everything, okay? I'm doing the wellness shots. I'm doing the Nutrafol. I'm doing the Nature's Bounty gummies. Like, just, I want my hair to grow, okay? I'm also taking Thorn prenatal. I used to take Parallel prenatal. There's no reason why I stopped. I heard good things about Thorn, so I'm trying it out. I am not trying to get pregnant right now, but it is a good, like, it's a good thing. Like, women should be taking prenatals, especially if they plan to get pregnant in the near future. But prenatals have lots of benefits. It's not just, you know, to help you conceive. So there's other benefits to it as well. So I'm taking Thorn. I can also recommend Parallel. I heard really good things about them. Well, I took them myself and always, I don't know, I just heard good things about both. So I'm trying out Thorne right now. And then when the time comes right, I'm trying to conceive, maybe I will go back to Parallel. I don't know, whatever. I also love the Lemmy. I love Lemmy. Honestly, I will say it. Lemmy DeBloat, I take that before I eat. Helps curb my appetite a little bit. I like it. Lemmy Glow, I like that. I think that's the hair, skin, and nails one. And then I don't regular... Oh, I also like Lemmy Purr. So that's also a vaginal probiotic. So, but that's gummies. So that's different. Also from Lemmy, I do like Lemmy Burn and Lemmy GLP-1 daily. But I don't take them on the regular. I really don't. I can't lie. I take them every now and then. Lemmy Burn, Lemmy GLP-1 daily. They all kind of do the same shit. I feel like it does the same thing as the Lemmy Deep Load. They're all meant to curb your cravings and whatever. So, like, I don't know. I don't take that regularly. And then the one last supplement that I will mention is It Just Works. It's a body deodorizing supplement, and it's literally called It Just Works. I think I have that on TikTok shop. You can Google it. It's everywhere. They're amazing. They're probably even on Amazon. It's amazing. Makes you not smell at all, no matter how much you sweat, no matter what you just did at the gym. Body deodorizing supplement. No smell will come out of you anywhere, by the way, any area of your body. So that's that. And then, of course, because I talked about how much I want to grow my hair out, I also want to make sure everyone knows how important it is to keep your hair healthy as well. So not just about making your hair long, you want it to be strong and full and healthy and not damaged and stringy and all that stuff. So I'm going to talk about other beauty prep stuff is my healthy hair blowout routine. And then that's pretty much all I have left to discuss. So I am not 100% set on any shampoo and conditioner right now. I have been using Kérastase shampoo and conditioner, and I am about to try out Vegamore shampoo and conditioner. I'm really interested in using theirs. If anyone recommends a shampoo and conditioner that they're like, I swear by this, it makes my hair long, it makes my hair strong, it makes it thick and full, let me know. I am open to shampoo and conditioner recommendations, but I think I really liked the Kérastase. So based on how I like the Vegamore, if I'm not like 100%, I might try out maybe another line from Kérastase because they do have so much. So I'll see, you know, about that. But anyway, the blowout routine. I do use a heat protectant from Kérastase. I use Color Wow Dream Coat. I use the Color Wow Dream Coat as like a blowout spray every 4 washes. It lasts every 3 to 4 washes. So that Color Wow Dream Coat bottle lasts you so long because you don't use it every time you blow out your hair. You use it every 4 times that you blow out your hair. So that's amazing. I also take these hair vitamins. Not take, sorry. It's not a vitamin that you put in your mouth. It's a vitamin that you break. You squirt out, you know, the serum from the inside and you put it on your hair. Those are linked on my TikTok shop. They're also linked on my Amazon storefront. I don't even know the name of it. I think it's called like Bali or something like that. Bali hair serum, something like that. You'll see it because I always post about it. They're amazing. They're these little red capsules. They look like a vitamin. Don't put them in your mouth. Break it open, squirt it in your hand, rub it on your hand, then rub it all over your hair. And then I also use Wella Miracle. It's like Wella Hair Repair Miracle Rescue Spray. Like, it's like a long name, but if you look up like Wella Miracle Spray, you'll see it. I love it. I feel like it makes my ends so strong. It helps so much preventing breakage. So I'm really here for that. And then the very last thing that I add after my hair is all blown out, because all of that is before, of course, before the blowout is heat protectant, Color Wow Dream Coat, the hair serum, and the Wella spray. Then my hair is dry once I'm all done. Then I add the Kérastase oil. It's like an elixir oil, something like that. And I put that on my hair just to make it like extra shiny. So those are all the products that I'm using in my hair right now to make sure that even if it gets long, it stays strong and healthy. And those are all the things that I'm doing for my bridal beauty prep. So if you go on my TikTok or my Instagram, you'll see I have a series out right now, like a 10-part series of bridal beauty prep, you know, stuff that I have going on. And I'm sharing it all because it's, yes, I'm doing it for my wedding, but like, it's also things that I'm just doing on a daily basis. So whether you're getting married or not, you could be using all of these, you know, products. Really, one has nothing to do with the other. I'm just like really trying to have like the best glow up for the wedding. So that's why I'm calling it a bridal beauty prep series, but it's also just a beauty series in general. And it's just everything that I'm doing. And then, yeah, that is everything that I have. I know that I talked a lot. I talked all over about all different things, but that is where I'm at. 6 months-ish out until the wedding. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I can't wait for you guys to see. I have like a content creator. Like, I'm going to have so much content. I can't wait for everything. I can't wait to share it all. I will be like going crazy with, you know, posting everything. I'm already anticipating it all to this day. I can't wait. I'm just like, I'm so excited. I hope that you girls enjoyed listening to all my thoughts, all my bridal and wedding thoughts. And yeah, the countdown is on. Thank you girls so much for being here, being a part of this journey with me, listening to this episode. Please, 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 if you have not yet rated and reviewed this show, it would mean so much to me if you leave 5 stars and leave a review. If anybody needs any advice from me on an upcoming episode of For the Girls, please email me at victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com and make the subject line Dear Victoria, because it will be automatically submitted for a Dear Victoria segment. So just make sure that you make it very clear that it's Dear Victoria in the subject line so that I know what this is for. Again, that's victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any recommendations or even questions and anything that you want to tell me or ask me in regards to wedding stuff and beauty stuff and all that, DM me on Instagram, TikTok, wherever. I would love to chat with you girls. And that is all. That's all that we have for today. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, girls. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.